So I will warn you guys, I like plenty of scriptures. So fasten your seatbelts. We're going to read scriptures. Okay?
Yeah?
Good. Now, I want to ask this question. Have you ever had to wait for something for a long time? And how did you feel about it? I can see Maureen looking at Dave. See, I know waiting for a long time for something can evoke a range of emotions, you know, depending on the individual and the situation. You know, it can lead to feelings of impatience, frustration, boredom, anxiety, especially if the outcome being waited for is important and uncertain. So I'm going to give you a couple of situations, you know, where individuals have reacted after waiting for a long time. If this applies to you, just signify by raising your hand. Long waits in customer service, waiting on hold for extended periods when contacting customer service. Almost everybody. So, you know, that can lead to frustration and irritation, especially when the issue being dealt with is urgent, you know, and important. Delayed transportation. Whether it's delayed a flight at the airport or sitting in traffic due to road congestion, you know, or experiencing delays on the transport or bus or some public transportation. Anybody? Oh, everyone. So that can cause stress, anxiety, and inconvenience. Medical appointments. Waiting for a long time at the doctor's surgery or in the hospital. Anybody? Aha. So that can be particularly distressing, you know, especially if you are in pain. You can imagine someone breaking a finger or foot, you know, and you go to A&E. You're in pain. You know, and you're there 3 hours waiting. Oh, come on. You know, so, yeah. So that can be very frustrating, you know. All right. So government bureaucracy. I'll give you an example. Experiencing delays in processing maybe your license, permits, or passports. If you're traveling, you know, you want to travel 2 weeks there, you throw your passport and tell you it's ready in 5 days, 7 days, you haven't seen it. So that can be very tedious and aggravating. How about this? Waiting for important news or outcomes. Job interviews, college admission decisions, medical tests. Emotionally taxing and can lead to stress, anxiety and stress. Finally, product launches and releases. You know, iPhone 17 is coming out. You're lining up. You're online waiting for a ticket for an event. You know, you've been there lining up and waiting for a long time, only to find out that the product was not available or tickets are sold out. So that can be very disappointing and very disheartening, correct? You see, in each of these situations, the prolonged wait can amplify feelings of impatience, annoyance, disappointment, dissatisfaction, you know, potentially leading to negative reactions and experiences. Now, for us Christians, we have been conditioned in such a way that when we ask God for something, a sign, a miracle, an answer to a question, we expect that God will answer us immediately and the way we want it. I can see some guilty. I'm like that as well. You know, so we're only human. But you see, we selfishly sometimes, you know, we don't even want to hear what God has to say concerning the matter. All we want is, just give me the solution. We can talk about that later. I need it now. Now, in the kingdom, however, there is a period between your request, when you ask God for something, and when he gives or grants that request. This is called the waiting period, or the wait. Now, during this time of the wait, a number of things can happen. God could be silent. God could be testing your level of patience. The enemy could sow doubt. The enemy could present an alternative to shift you away from the original, from the real deal. So, like I said, so the enemy presents an alternative to shift you away from the original or actual. It's also a period of self-reflection, a period of building capacity. God could be training you. God could be stretching your trust. God could be stretching your trust barometer. Now, I want us to look at a man in the Bible whose life depicted all of the above. Let's look at Genesis 12 from verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed, and as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So the Lord calls Abram. Hey, dude, come. I'm taking it somewhere you don't know. I will bless you. I will do this for you. Let me ask you this question. If the king asks you or calls any one of you and tells you that I want you to go to, say, somewhere like Seychelles, for example, you know, Seychelles. And if you go to Seychelles, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will do that. What will you do? You will take that offer. Why? Because you also will be what? Expectant. Correct? Now, I want to ask this question. Do you think there were any personal expectations by Abram when he answered the call of God? The Bible did not tell us explicitly, you know, it didn't state explicitly Abram's personal expectations at the time of his call. But it's reasonable to assume that as a human being, he would likely have some expectations and hopes. Some possibilities are, for example, fulfillment and purpose, you know, like anyone facing any significant life decision or calling. Abram may have sought a sense of fulfillment and purpose in his life. That God called him to leave his country. As far as he is concerned, that would have resonated with his desire for meaning and direction. That, oh, basically, I didn't know, I had no vision, I didn't know where I was going, and all, but until God calls me, oh man, that there's something for my life. Number two, guidance and protection. When God called him from a place that he knew or a place that he was familiar with to an unknown place, he would be wondering what's going to be happening to me and all, you know, living behind a familiar surrounding and venturing into an unknown territory, you know, would be daunting. Therefore, he will be seeking God's support and assistance and his assurance, you know, that as you are going to take me away from here, I know that you are taking me somewhere. You're going to protect me. You're going to be with me and all that. Those are valid expectations, correct? Very valid expectations. Number three, which was the most important, this is someone who had been childless for 75 years. And for the Almighty God to then tell him that I will make you a great nation in Genesis 12:2. That desire, you know, amplified by God's promise, you know, made Abraham go for that call, obey the call and head straight for wherever unknown, as long as it's God. Now, Abraham's expectations were very high, I believe. Very high. You know, and after waiting for a number of years, you know, no results, he began to become quite frustrated, you know, and impatient. Why do I say that? In Genesis 15, from verses 1 to 6, let's look at what happened there. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up in the sky, into the sky, and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Let's skip to verse 18. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. The land now occupied by the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." This was God giving Abram an assurance in the form of a covenant that not only will he have descendants, but he will possess all the aforementioned territories. However, God did not give a specific time, which was Abram's issue. You said, "You're going to bless me, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that." When? I've been waiting since. What are you doing? I've followed you, I've obeyed you, I've kept quiet, but you still haven't given me. Why? What's going on? So much believing for God, because 10 years later, Abraham took matters into his own hands when an alternative was presented in the person of who? Hagar. Genesis 16. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children. I want you to pay close attention to this particular story. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Listen to this. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abraham agreed to Sarai's proposal. Excuse me. You know. Anyway, so Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abraham had settled in the land of Canaan. Abraham was how old? 85 when this happened. So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. Hear what Sarah said. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "This is all your fault. I put my servant in your arms, But you said in verse 2, go and sleep with her. Why are you now telling me, give her in my arms? And, you know, she said, but now she's, now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. I can imagine Abram's, his demeanor and his countenance and all that. I was like, hey, look, she's your servant. So deal with her as you see fit. It's not my fault, you know, but you know what I mean. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Now we see that that is an immediate consequence for following an alternative, which spelled trouble for Abram. Now, the chapter ends in verse 16 by saying, when it says, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now, we're not told what happened between the end part of Genesis 16 and the beginning of Genesis 17. Why? Because Genesis 16, the end part of Genesis 16 says Abram was how old? 86. But the beginning of Genesis 17 says Abram was what? 99. There was 13 years of what? Silence. 13 years of silence. But you see, we cannot say what happened during that period, but one can postulate that as a result of the trouble Abraham got himself in and God's silence, Abraham had to go through some things. And what I'm about to share now applies to everyone today when waiting on the Lord. Number one, Abraham went through a transformation of what? Perspective. He shifted his focus from the immediate desires to eternal priorities, having recognized that God's timing was perfect and his plans were ultimately for his good. Secondly, Abraham went through what we call character development, where he cultivated virtues such as patience, perseverance, humility. He probably surrendered control and relied on God's guidance and provision, you know, which helped his spiritual growth and maturity. Number three, alignment with God's will. He discerned more closely God's will for his life, or more clearly God's will, and that provided space for prayer, reflection, you know, seeking guidance and enabling him to align his desires to God's purpose. Number four, a greater dependency on God. I believe Abraham must have fostered a deeper dependency, on God, rather than relying solely on human efforts, you know, or understanding, and acknowledged that his limitations were, he acknowledged his limitations, you know, and learned to lean on God's wisdom and strength. Then, increased faith. I believe this period, you know, Abraham must have placed his trust in God's wisdom and timing, which strengthened his own faith, ability to deepen his trust in God, in God's character and his faithfulness to fulfill his promises. And lastly, preparation for blessings. I'll take it from the beginning. A transformation of perspective, character development, aligning with God's will, a greater dependency on God, then putting his increased faith in God, and then prepared himself for the blessing. Abraham must have prepared himself to receive and steward God's blessings well. You know, I believe that preparation would have refined his character and strengthened his faith and positioned him to fully appreciate God's blessings and what he was going to provide. In my opinion, I believe God saw that Abraham had learned from his mistakes, you know, and gone through a process of what refinement, you know, depicted by all that I mentioned earlier. Then God appeared to him, and what happened afterwards was a life-transforming encounter. Genesis 17, from verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. In Genesis 15, the Lord spoke to him in a vision. But I believe that with maturity, with greater dependence on God, that he acknowledged his weakness and knew who God was, then the Lord showed himself to him. And guess what the Lord said? I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. King James says, walk before me and be blameless. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down. He was not arguing with God this time around because he had matured. He fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you, from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. He then said concerning Sarai in verse 15, or from verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abram bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How can I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael, look, prior to this, I believe that because Abraham, had gone through that transformation, he had resigned to trusting the Lord for whatever comes his way. Regardless of whether he had a child, a descendant or not. Which was why I think he asked, or he in disbelief, me having a child at 100, and then said, oh, Ishmael, may he be part of this? And God said, no. But God replied, no. Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac. And I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac. Now God became time specific. Who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year? So it's not a case of, I will bless you when. God was now specific because I believe God has seen that now Abraham is ready for my assignment. So because you are ready for my assignment, you've matured, you've been equipped, you've learned patience, you've learned perseverance, you've learned all that, I'm going to give you your son, and then my assignment begins. When God had finished speaking, he left Abraham. Fast forward to Genesis 21. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. How many of you can wait that long? One of my closest friends, we married for 16 years, no child. You can imagine the trauma, the disappointment, the pain. But they held on to God. They prayed. They believed. December 16, 2022, they had a daughter. What a beautiful girl. I know of several families that have experienced such, and God then blessed them. Also, we've heard of others who have waited first, second, third, fourth year, and then something happens. They split because of such things. Not just in the area of childbirth, in several things that you wait, you believe God for something, and you've waited for that long, and it did not show up. A lot of us lose hope, miss the mark. Waiting is not an easy one. It's not easy at all. For Abraham, now Abraham, mistakes were made. But God was still merciful and fulfilled his covenant to Abraham. I believe what did it for Abraham was the ability to realize that it's not by power, not by might, but by God's Spirit. And that God is faithful, he who has promised. Now, this is a reminder to everyone here who are expectant and have prayed fervently for an answer, for a miracle, for a sign, for deliverance. That whatever it is, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, or they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. That whatever it is, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. That whatever it is, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for him. And lastly, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for your word tonight. We give you praise, O God. Father, in the midst of waiting, we come before you with humble hearts, trusting in your perfect timing and your sovereignty. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Your ways are higher and higher than ours. Lord, as we wait on you for whatever it is that we are asking for, Lord, we ask that you help us to surrender our timelines and our desires to your will in the name of Jesus, knowing that your plans for us are good and they're perfect. We ask that you grant us the strength to wait patiently. Fill us with the peace that passeth all understanding in this time of waiting, O God. Let your joy sustain us through this waiting season in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would teach us to trust in you completely, wholeheartedly, even if we cannot see the way forward in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you give us the faith to believe, O God, that you are working all things together for our good according to your purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that our waiting time will also be a time of growth, spiritual growth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and intimacy with you, Father. Lord, that we'll draw nearer to you and we'll learn to hear your voice more clearly whilst we're waiting in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we wait, Lord, we lift up our requests and desires to you. Help us to align our hearts, O God, with your will, and to trust that you will answer us according to your perfect timing. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your unfailing love, O God. We ask that you strengthen us as we wait on you. And may your name be glorified in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.